We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari America, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Jeff Erickson. Today, our podcast is sponsored by the good folks at Dynasty Owner. Appreciate their sponsorship. My co-host guest today is none other than Jake Seeley from The Athletic, operator of the Flex Expert Leagues as well. Jake, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing terrific. How are you doing? A little bit of tired of a weekend, but I'm doing really well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this has been a very hectic weekend for you. Usually you're traveling. Now it's all online this year because of 2020, but everything seems to be going smoothly. I'm in the best ball flex league that's still ongoing, but how did everything go this weekend?
Oh, it went terrific. Yeah, SiriusXM did a great job as always. Everybody participating did a great job. A lot of fun. We did a lot of Zoom for the other four that weren't the best ball to kind of virtually get together, which was fun, like seeing everybody's faces and just chat and stuff like that. And there were some amusing points to it, but it was kind of a real tell on like what the industry is actually thinking draft wise. Yep. So it was a lot of fun to see it actually put into action.
Yeah, we all have our bubbles. We talk, whether it's on Twitter or just in within your own company. But then, you don't get exposed to everybody's work. It's just impossible to keep up with everybody. And you start seeing some aberrant, draft choices, strategies they might not have seen otherwise. So I like seeing that.
Yeah, that's always the best part about it. And then, the auction was kind of, the funny thing about the auction was like, it was almost the most respectful auction I've seen so far. I was like, yeah, we're just going to kind of stick to the values that everybody pretty much has. And nothing's going to go too crazy. It's like there's nothing really like that insane, which is the weirdest, probably the weirdest auction I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, that is. And the thing about football auctions that I've noticed is, baseball, you kind of have a general idea where guys can go, but in football, I think there's a lot more variance. If people are deciding they're going to spend big on the big guys, well, okay, here we go, buckle in, and sometimes you'll get some pretty hefty bids on the top backs and all that. Other times you get a room full of people saving money. I feel like there's a lot more variance in football auctions than our baseball auctions.
I completely agree with you. And that's, you know, a lot of people ask me that every single year with the column where I have the auction values and they're like, well, should I get this person at this value? And you have somebody at 54, you know, should I go all the way up to 54? But to your point, like baseball, you know, you see very little variance in football. A few picks skews the entire draft room. You know, I've made the comparison before. I kind of compare, like, I compare it to a speed limit, and I know it's supposed to be the limit, but we all know people's speed, but I use it as it's a guide. Like if right. everybody starts going 63 miles an hour in a 55, most everybody's going to keep with the traffic and go with it. If it's pouring down rain and everybody's going under the speed limit. And that's what I'm saying is like, depending on your draft room, to your point, if the top 10 running backs are all of a sudden going 10, 20% over the, you know, the normal value, you're either going to have to adjust and jump in, or you're going to have to find your values elsewhere and maybe go wide receiver heavy. So it's going to depend on every single one. I would say you're 100% right. Fantasy football, use auction prices as a guide. Don't use it as a Bible.
Yeah, and I would say try to keep it relative to position, you know, and that, yes. that's going to have a that's going to help you at least a little bit. But if you really want to add some variance, throw it, make it a super flex auction, and you'll really see it just all over the map. But I do a league with Brad Evans every year. Usually we do it in Vegas. This year, not so much. But, you know, it's and there's a bunch of RotoWire guys and Yahoo guys in it and friends of Brad. And, you know, it's a super flex auction, and it's like multiple flex spots too. It's crazy. But it's great though, because, you know, there's no, you know, one price from one year does not carry over to the other at all.
No, that's always interesting too. And then I love to see super flex auctions, because even like the flex auction is only single quarterback. We haven't quite got there yet. We do have the two super flex leagues, but you know, the perfect example is Mahomes and Lamar Jackson went for 20, and then we had Dak at 10, and then everybody else was single digits. And we had a whole bunch of like threes, twos and ones of the Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones of the world. It's like, this just shouldn't be happening. So
no.
Yeah, I would love to see more superflex auctions. It's funny, at the industry, we're getting people to superflex, we're getting people to auctions, but we really haven't gotten to both yet.
Yeah. Hey, baby steps. We're getting there. I love that you had two superflex drafts. That's good. Just and like Fish Scott Fishbowl is always superflex plus all sorts of other variations, which I also yeah. like too. You know, hey, give me different ways to play. You know, instead another expert league. Oh, okay, great. You know, give me something different.
Another 16 round, one quarterback, one flex, you know, half point PPR, full point PPR. Yeah, okay, I've done this draft a million times.
Yeah, I've always argued that fantasy football gets it wrong, that unless you do super flex, you know, the most important position in real life is quarterback, yet in our league, we devalue all but like the top five quarterbacks.
And that it's not even just the value in them, it's the value in the position too. You're 100% right, because last year's perfect example, like Jameis Winston, the typical league undrafted. I'm not saying that's going to happen every year. Oh, wait, no, it does happen every year, because we do have two or three quarterbacks outside the top 15 that end up as top 10 quarterbacks year in and year out. And, you know, for everybody that gets frustrated that, oh, you know, I was doing so well and then he just picked up blank and did, you know, ran roughshod, or he just did this. And Lamar Jackson last year was an eighth round pick. You're like, yes, we need to bring back value 100%.
Yeah. So, we'll keep pushing for that. If we can get Greg and Tom over at the NFFC to do a super flex, more super flex stuff like that, then I think we'll really start pushing those borders. But until then, we'll see. Today is opt-out day for the NFL. It's a deadline is 4 o'clock Eastern, where players can opt out due to COVID-19. We've already seen another one this morning. Albert Wilson, for the wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, one of a sneaky late round pick for people, and especially in best balls or super deep drafts, goes along with Allen Hurns. Both of those guys now opted out. All of a sudden, this Miami receiving corps is a little thin.
Yeah, and it kills me multiple ways. There's one, as you mentioned, best balls. Like before we talked on the show, like Albert Wilson's always a fun best ball to take a flyer on, because we've seen how productive he can be. But at the same time, I was one of the people that was campaigning like, we not stop disrespecting Devontae Parker. Look, I understand he's not going to be the second best wide receiver behind Michael Thomas from weeks four on. Like, I understand he's probably not even going to be a wide receiver one with the concern of what's happening at quarterback. But for him to be falling into the mid-20s and even late 20s was just absurd to me. He needed to be top 20, potentially top 15 still. Like, we waited and waited and waited, and we got this first round pedigree to finally break out, and everybody's still like, I don't know if I want to get into him. And then the argument is, well, it's because of Preston Williams. Well, then why is it Preston Williams being drafted higher?
Right.
So it's funny that these opt-outs it's a double-edged sword. We lose Albert Wilson and best balls and deep flyers, but we also have now lost the value from drafting early on Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, because it's going to force people to get on board, similar to Damian Williams with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It forces people to come on if you were getting the value earlier in drafts.
Yeah, that's right. Although I'll say one thing is, in regards to Parker, I think it also speaks to the depth at the wide receiver position. Wide receivers 9 through 25, take them in a bag, shake them up, and you can't completely change the order, but one guy might have Keenan Allen at 25 and another might have him at 15. It's not really that out of the blue to see that. I think it starts with after Allen Robinson, for me at least, there's some separation from that first top two tiers. But after that, I mean, there's all sorts of receivers you can get in that group.
It's funny you just said that, because for the Athletic podcast I just did today, we were just talking about Keenan Allen, because I got him in the auction. We were talking about that very thing. And I was saying, Brandon Funston has him down in like the 20s. And I was like, how do you not have him still close to top 15, even with the decrease? He's been top 10, top 10, top 10. I get the concerns of quarterback. Tyrod is not that bad. Phillip Rivers is just coming off one of his worst seasons to date. So it's funny, though, because the point you just made was but I also get it at the same time, because I mean, depending on whose your rankings are, but you just mentioned it, from my wide receiver 9 down to wide receiver 24 is a gap of 20 fantasy points. That's it. That's barely over a point per week. 2 touchdowns and a couple extra yards, or 150 yards and 1 touchdown. Like, all of a sudden you move guys 15 spots. So I'm completely with you on that. It's funny to sit there and say he's being disrespected, but at the same time, it's such a slim margin of what that gap is.
Yeah. And to that point, the NFFC RotoWire Online Championship, Keenan Allen is wide receiver 23. Parker is wide receiver 25, but it's picks 53 and 58.
Yeah, so there you go. I have so much of them so far, though. I'll happily keep taking both of them. Yeah.
So on the flip side, is there a wide receiver in that grouping that you're fading actively? You think, okay, he shouldn't belong there. He's going way too high.
For two reasons. One is what you just said is, because of this group, I don't feel like you need to take him where he's going. And then two is the offense, the quarterback, what's going to happen? It's DJ Moore. It's similar to my argument of Aaron Jones. I love the talent. I can love the player and not like the situation. Mm-hmm. My concern is, and I know if anybody's going to help do it, it's Joe Brady. I think that's overlooked a little bit. When people forget that the LSU innovator just came over with Matt Rhule. But Teddy Bridgewater needs to throw 600 times for DJ Moore to hit wide receiver 1 value. And people are taking him right there. They're taking him around wide receiver 11, 12. And if you're talking about how big this group is of the Terry McLaurins of the world, you tell me there's a big difference between McLaurin and DJ Moore, or DJ Chark, or Keenan Allen, or Mike. Again, you can make the case. I just made the case of Parker. So if you can argue for anybody, but to take Moore as high as he's going when you have all these options, that's why I just can't do it. Because it's not just Teddy has to throw 600. He has to throw 600 because of his style. He actually just played for the Saints and decreased in yards per attempt and completion. He was on the Saints, everybody. And again, I understand.
Is that a
great
feature,
situation,
though, not a bug? Kind of the Saints offense right now.
So much to the fact he was just playing with Michael Thomas, Ted Gidd, Trenquan Smith, and Jared Cook. These guys aren't running all inside the 10 to 15. I understand what you're saying, but my point was going to be, you take them from there, and yes, mm-hmm. they added Robbie Anderson, but what's the top two weapons? The top two weapons are in the 10 to 15 yard range. So I don't see why it would get better, is what I was going to say.
Oh, and I agree with you on that. And I think the case for Bridgewater for Moore is that, the Carolina defense is going to be terrible, which it probably will be terrible again, even though they spent every draft pick on a defensive player, literally. But they had key losses over there, and they were really horrible last year. But the argument has been too that, okay, bad defense equals more attempts. Sometimes that's true. Not always. Sometimes bad defense equals, okay, we better play ball control, make sure our defense isn't on the field as much.
100%. Like, if you want to say, okay, let's say bad defense and we know they're going to be down by two scores in the fourth quarter. Okay, cool. But like you said, that doesn't always come true. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because I feel like people get caught up in that too much. You know, they're saying like, well, let's go for the Bengals. Let's go for the Giants. You know, their offenses are going to have to play it. If you're talking about the Giants, I'm legitimately concerned. We're talking about Jason Garrett. What does Jason Garrett like to do? Use the running back and slow things down. And the Cowboys have been one of the slower pace of plays offenses. So it's not a hold true for every single team. It's a great point that you just made.
Yeah. I mean, how many passes do we really expect to have Bridgewater throw? I mean, and he's just never been you don't think of gunslinger Teddy Bridgewater. You think of manage the game Teddy Bridgewater.
Right. And that was one of the bigger complaints about him coming out of college, was the struggle with the deep ball and the accuracy with it. So again, that's not DJ Moore's game to a complete degree, but you know, that comes into play with the entire offense.
Yeah. So, I think I share your concern about DJ Moore. Love the player, love the skills. Just I do question the volume and question like the quality of volume too, for that matter. Mohamed Sanu is off the PUP list. He struggled last year after that confounding trade, giving up a high draft pick to get him last year. And I guess that's neither here nor there, whether it's not his fault that the Pats overvalued him in the trade market. But what do we expect out of the Patriots passing game this year? I kind of look at them as like, this is kind of a fantasy wasteland.
It kind of feels that way, but I feel like if I'm going to take a chance for where N'Keal Harry is going, I'll happily do it. And where Mohamed Sanu is going, because in your typical draft, he's not even going right now. He's in the best balls and deep leagues. There's going to be somebody here, because Cam Newton, for all the reports, the positive reports that we're seeing, is that he's fine. Everybody, like, we had that doctor report that was in the newspaper, which I didn't even know those were still around. It's just talking about how great he looked from his healing and all that type of stuff. You know, if Cam Newton's even 90% of what he was, you know, this roster has a little bit of a similar construction to that last season with Carolina, where he finally had that uptick in accuracy because they stopped messing around with, hey, let's give him the 6'5 guy who can't separate and hopefully that'll work out. No, they started getting him guys who could get open. So that's why I do like Edelman and Sanu. And I really think Sanu could be the sneaky value here. Like, if you told me at the end of the year, Sanu was at Edelman's heels and a clear number two on this team, it wouldn't shock me. I do think that N'Keal Harry is not done for after just 1 year. There's a reason he had the draft pedigree behind him.
Right.
But I think Sanu is definitely somebody that, even in your standard league, just throw a 14th rounder on him. If we get to week one and we know he's the number two and N'Keal Harry still hasn't developed, people are going to be kicking themselves for not getting a piece of him. It's super cheap.
Sure. I think it's one of life's rich ironies, though, that forever Cam had to wait to get quality wide receivers. And then but then he gets hurt. Then he goes to the Pats. Oh, he's fine. He's with the Pats. Oh, except Edelman's coming off something. Sanu's coming off something. Edelman's like 34. they're having all these opt-outs on the Pats. It's like, oh, here we go again. Still.
And the thing I just wrote about Edelman, I found out, I looked this up. So his separation has decreased the past 3 years, and his drop percentage has increased the past 3 years. So he's gone the opposite directions you would want to go in two of the most telling stats of he started to decline.
Yeah, that's right. And so to that end, you know, I think I got him in Fishbowl, but I think that's the only place I have him so far. I'm pushing him well below where his ADP is for the most part.
Yeah, I am with you as well.
Quick note before we move on, from our friends at Dynasty Owner. If you've been looking for a new challenge, if you want to take advantage of N'Keal Harry or Mohamed Sanu in a Dynasty format, play Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football this season. Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics. Go to dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Leagues are forming now. That's dynastyowner.com/rotowire. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky. If you're like us and know better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries within the salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy. Go to dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Validate your fantasy football skills. That's dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Dynasty Owner, start your dynasty today. I'm Jeff Erickson. My guest here is Jake Seeley from The Athletic, from the Flex Expert Leagues. So, Jake, walk me through putting together the Flex Leagues. First of all, this is year what? Seven, eight?
Eight.
Eight. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked too.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, what prompted you to start it?
So it's funny. It's twofold. So I've always, since I've been in the industry a long time, I mean, this is actually my 10th year of being published, but you know, I was involved with doing my own blog and trying to get into the industry before that. So I've seen the expert leagues, and you're part of one of the ones that like had my thought process to it is for fantasy baseball. We have talent and labor. And since day one of when I started my career, like, why isn't there a league like this for football? Like, why are we? And it's not just like, it wasn't so much to even be like, hey, I want to be Tout Wars. It was just like, we don't get together like baseball does. Like, it's fun to get together with the baseball guys and hang out and see these people. Like, I never met you, Jeff, in person until we went to Tout Wars. And like, we talk online, but we don't get to hang out. And that was my biggest thing is like, let's do this for football. Let's go hang out. We're drafting anyway. We're in these quote unquote expert leagues. Let's do them in person. So I did an article way back in the day. It was the top 100 players for fantasy with people in the industry giving me their ranks. I combine them into an overall 100. And then I let people comment and saying who's too high, too low. And at the end of it, Jamie Eisenberg of CBS was like, hey, we should get everybody in this in a league. And I was like, dude, I've been trying to do this for years. So Dave Gano's helped a little bit. Nando got me set up in this bar in New York. I forget what it was. It was something out there. And we did it live, two drafts in a bar in New York for the very first year. And then we got SiriusXM on board the next year and just continually progress because everything's online this year and nothing's in person. It went from three leagues to everybody said yes this year, like you flying across country. It's a long trip. And so it's five leagues with a best ball and 60 teams. And it's just, it grew and it's just amazing to see where it is at this point.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's awesome. And I want to be able to do the live one eventually too. My big problem is just timing. Kids going back to school, geography being on the West Coast. And, you know, I have a golf trip every year in August and all that. And I'm not willing to give that up. We've been going for like 25 years. So although we had to give it up this year. So I guess, yeah, everything changes in 2020, but it's okay. I mean, the thing is, I totally agree with you though, on the concept of putting faces to names. And you know, sometimes people get these petty beefs on Twitter, but if you see someone in person, talk to them, have a beverage of your choice with them, and all of a sudden, you know, things get kind of evened out a little bit there too, and you know, you form these bonds.
100%. I'm laughing because I work with somebody. So Michael Salafino, like if you've ever tweeted with him, you would think he's like the biggest jerk in the world. And then you hang out and talk with him in person. It's like, this is a great conversation. Like,
yes, exactly.
100%. I'm with you on that.
I have never been in a Twitter conversation. No, I can't even finish that sentence there. But Mike is, he stirs the pot on Twitter. Let's just leave it at that. But exactly. But and live drafts are a blast too. And live auctions are even better.
Oh, the live auctions are always the best. If you want to get some things that probably can't get aired, live auctions are the best. The most angriest you'll get people. I was telling Greg Barfield I hated him on the Zoom call. I was like, yeah, I hate you, like, because he got me twice. And that's the most fun. Like, it's sniping, but it's like sniping to the nth degree because it's an auction.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you start to get this recurring group. You start playing in the same leagues together year after year, start to know their tendencies a little bit more. You know, Brad Evans loves David Montgomery. Okay, we know this. You know, and he's going to wear his heart on his sleeve on the players that he goes for. His guys are his guys. Other people are a little bit more circumspect. Others, you know, will just sit back and let the room come to him. Scott Pianowski, on the other hand, is awesome at taking value from an auction.
And and
that's his style. I love it. I love the variance in style.
It's always great to see it. That just goes to what we kind of preach as an industry every single year is whether it is snake or auction is know your draft room. And you kind of, this definitely makes it. I think that's part of the reason the auction was so, I called it quote unquote respectable, is because we know each other so well. We kind of know where to look for the values. And it's almost, it's, you gotta be even sleuthier, if I just make that a word, because there are very few ones that, like Colton the Wolfman, we know they love the Cowboys, but they're not going to be dumb about it. Like they're going to try and get their Cowboys, but they're not going to keep going and going and going until it makes no sense. Same thing with them and the Yankees and stuff like that. And you see, like, you, Tout Wars, what you guys created over there. there, you know, sitting back. And I remember it's so funny. The very first time I did an auction for Chout Wars, I was legitimately nervous because it's like, sure, you know, this is like, I don't know what to expect from some of these guys in the auction, but it's just a fun experience.
Exactly. So describe your style when you're drafting. What is the Jake Seeley style, except for devaluing kickers? We know that's your brand, but other than that, what is your brand?
Yeah, ban kickers to 100%. Mine, it's just going to sound like I'm not straddling the fence. It's just 100% is I just go in and look where the value is going to end up. And I say that in the fact of, but perfect example is I don't like, if I did a snake draft, you would never see me come out of the team that I just came out with in the flex auction, because it's I would call it modified zero RB. My number one running back is Chris Carson. I actually love the value I got on him. But number two is Darius Geis. And then my bench is littered with five or six running backs that are in timeshares, potential breakouts. But it's kind of modified zero running back. I don't do that. I am bell cow for life. I will always take a running back in the first round or second round. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do I not take one in the first round, but the value is with wide receiver. And so, you know, Thomas went for 48. I don't ever draft Kelsey, and he went for 26. And then I got Keenan Allen just talking about for 18. And I ended up going, well, you know what? I have three stud wide receivers, Kelsey. And so I essentially have four stud wide receivers, and I had to, you know, modify on the fly. And that's where I go. And again, like, I don't want to not give away a strategy, but that is my strategy, is learn your draft room and adapt right to it very quickly. Like, even if you think you know everybody, that doesn't mean that's necessarily how it's going to happen. I'll go back to, again, the Tout Wars and the labor draft this year is I don't like spending a lot on pitching, but the value is at pitching. That's where I ended up spending more of my money than I expected to, because sure, they were going so cheap. So my biggest advice to everybody is don't go in with a preset plan. Look for the weaknesses in the auction draft and attack them, even if it's a roster that you wouldn't normally construct in a snake draft.
One of the things I like to do in an auction is throw out a player of a key category, key type. So in baseball, I'll throw out a closer, like, because I want to define the closer market. I want to know exactly what it's going to be. Football, it's a little trickier, but, like, you know, I'll throw out one of the elite tight ends, or I'll throw out a quarterback. I want to know pretty quickly, okay, are people going to, you know, and this is a super flex league where I throw out a quarterback. I wouldn't do it in a one quarterback league, but I want to know, okay, is the room going to be spending on this or not? And usually you can get a pretty good answer. Sometimes that first guy of the shoe can be an outlier anyhow, but otherwise I like to define, and that'll help me kind of adjust on the fly too.
Yeah, that's, I threw out, for that kind of point to another degree, is I threw out Clyde Edwards-Helaire early, because it was like, all right, I want to see where the hyped players are going to go. Like, let's see, you know, the industry buzz has been on Edwards-Helaire, obviously, after the Damian Williams hopped out. But there's other industry buzz players like Anthony Miller late. Like, there's a lot of people in the industry that like Anthony Miller and been trying to push up his value. You kind of throw out the buzzy names and see where they're going, and that kind of gives you a good basis too. And then I'll throw out like a little nugget of a strategy that I like to do is, You'll see in auctions, you'll see mini runs where the perfect example is this one, like Kenny Galladay, Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, Odell Beckham. Like, a lot of them, you started getting that group that you were talking about before, those wide receivers, right, like 9 through 20. A lot of them started coming off the board. And when you see that, what I like to do is kind of go and say, all right, well, now I'll go throw out Christian Kirk for $2 and kind of maybe I get him for $2 just because everybody's so thrown off from the flow. And they're like, oh, mm-hmm, yeah, I don't know if I want to spend on Christian Kirk yet, because this is what the wide receivers are doing. And you can kind of sneak in values here and there if you do that right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in a deep auction league, the RotoWire Steak League, where we have a steak dinner side bet, you know, based on total points for the season. And that's why we call it the Steak League. But it's a deep league. It's like 14 teams. It's IDP also, but only three, like one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one defensive back. Although those definitions are getting increasingly blurred. But anyhow, I like to throw out one of those guys early too, just to kind of like, oh yeah, I got to start thinking of that. Throw people off a little bit.
Yep. And I will say, if you're trying to throw people off too, is don't be afraid that, like, hey, that might be a guy you just take anyway. Like,
yeah, exactly.
If you're like in that, like, oh, well, I'm going to throw out Mike Evans because he's in that group of wide receivers where I don't see the need to spend. And, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about Tom Brady being there or whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden Mike Evans kind of stalls out at like $16. Don't be afraid to just get, you know, take them. Like, you just because you don't like somebody doesn't always mean it's not necessarily going to surprise you in a value.
Right. Right. I mean, you don't want to get stuck in a slew of those guys. You want to have right, your guys too. You can't be completely agnostic. But at the same time, yeah, if you see it, like, okay, well, I thought the room, you know, the whole room agrees with me that he's not a $25 player, but guess what? He's probably a $20 player. I'll take him at 16.
Yep, 100%. Oh, and I forgot one more, and you know this as well as anybody, especially from the baseball side of things, is whether or not you're a fan of tiers. Like, I think people can get a little bit too hung up in tiers, especially in snake, because you kind of ignore a value that might be elsewhere. But they are important, and a little bit more important in auction for the fact of this point is don't get stuck bidding on one or two in a tier that are left, and you need that player.
Like, right.
If you're like, you know, you need an RB2 and all of a sudden there's only two guys left, you're going to end up overpaying. And the perfect example, and the only reason I bring this up is because they already mentioned that they made the mistake and they hate making the mistake. And that's Colton the Wolfman. Rick Wolf was being interviewed and he said, we always have like big three mistakes that we don't want to make. And he goes, we made all three of them. And one of them was, he's like, one of them was bidding on a guy in the last of our group. And it was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon went for $50. Alvin Kamara went for 50 or 49. Barkley was 55, 56. And so they ended up overpaying because it was the last in the group and they had to go get an RB1.
Right. Yeah. You never want to be in a have to be. My favorite thing is when, especially in the middle tiers, there's three guys you like, but you might like one better than the others. So you kind of wait on that guy, but he doesn't come up first. The third guy comes up first.
Yes.
And he's like $4 below value, or he's even at value. Just take the value, you know, even though you may like the other guy better, someone else obviously does too. And he's going to get priced up.
I'm going to say one more that's out. You'll love this. Is don't think you're the only person that notices somebody still on the board.
Right.
I love that all the time because it goes to the point that you just made, because people will save that money for that player thinking the other 11 or 15 or however many owners there are doesn't see that same player. And that's what happened in this draft with Nick Chubb. And I even called out the draft room for it. I was like, so Nick Chubb was the only one left in the RB1 tier. Most of the RB2 tier was gone. And I'm sitting there and I said it on the Zoom. I was like, why is everybody pretending like you don't know Nick Chubb is there? And then half the room laughed. It's because everybody knows. You're not fooling everybody.
Right.
But it goes to what you just said, is if you save your money thinking you're going to get Nick Chubb and fool everybody, you're not. And then often you miss, like you just said, a value because you're waiting for that one player.
Yeah. Pull off the Band-Aid, nominate him right away. Get him out there and let it breathe. If you get him, you get him, but at least you know, and you can move on. Otherwise you can plan accordingly. I think that's a great point. Quick note from our friends at FanDraft, take your league's fantasy football draft to the next level with FanDraft, the online fantasy football draft board. FanDraft makes your draft feel like the actual NFL draft, although the Vikings will make their pick on time on this one, with features such as a streaming ticker, live draft clock, custom logos, team walk-up songs, multiple draft board displays, and more. FanDraft can be used offline for in-person drafts by exporting the display via projector or onto a large-screen TV for the league to enjoy. It can also be used fully online, and any number of your league owners can join the draft remotely. You can perform both traditional and auction-style drafts. FanDraft also supports IDPs, rookie-only drafts, keepers, and just about any other customization to meet your league's requirements. You can use sign up for a free trial account at fandraft.com. When you're ready to order the pro account, make sure to use promo code ROTOPOD15 to save 15% off your purchase. Again, that's fandraft.com, and use promo code ROTOPOD15 to save 15%. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Jake Seeley from The Athletic and the Flex Expert Leagues. Jake, what's next for the Flex Leagues? Are you going to add like Dynasty League at some point or Keeper League of some format? What's next?
I would love to do Keeper. There's not enough industry Keeper stuff. We're also one and done every single year. So that would be my first goal. Dynasty, I mean, whether it's Keeper or full Dynasty, I would love to go that route. I won't do IDP unless everybody wants to do it, because I just can't. I got too much between baseball, scouting the college players, and football that I myself, like, once you get past like three IDP spots, I'm like, yeah, I need to look up some of these guys and trust on like the Gary Davenports of the world to help me out on those.
Exactly.
But I do want to. And, you know, I joked with Fabiano on this network and I said, you're not invited next year because you're not going to come to the live show. Same thing for you. It's like, we're at the point now where, and I know you being part of Tout Wars understand this, like, I didn't want to do online until we had officially got a footing, because I didn't want everybody to opt out of coming live to New York because we could do it all online. So we now will have a good best ball online league, probably have a second super flex, but that is the next step. Absolutely. I would love, I don't know what your guys are thinking for Tautwort. I would love to have like a keeper or a dynasty in baseball as well. To like, you know, hey, I got an amazing value last year. Don't you made me lose it. I don't have it next year.
Right, right. Well, like Tautwort, I had the $3 Mike Trout in his rookie year. That was pretty sassy and AL only. Yeah, that would have been nice. Now, of course, he wouldn't have gone for $3 in a keeper, but that's beside the point. But I still would have gotten a pretty good bargain on him. But yeah. And to your point, the other issues, and I know you've probably got the same issue as me, is I'm in so many darn leagues. I keep saying I need to cut, and then I add. And, you know, Derek Van Riper comes calling saying, hey, we're doing this Triple Crown Baseball League, one AL, one NL, one mix, and it goes to support this food kitchen. I'm like, I can't say no to DVR. Yes. Nobody can say no to DVR. It's tough.
It's too not nice. Even that too. Is I forget about some of the ones I'm in that I've already agreed to from past year. So I'll be like, oh, I cut three leagues. So yeah, I can add this one. Like you said, like the DVR asked, I'll be like, oh, I can add this one. And then I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot I'm in these other two. So I didn't really cut anything.
Right, right. Exactly. And you know, it's all for a good cause. And he does this thing for football called the pentathlon. You were a part of that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The pentathlon's awesome.
I call out Elliot Chris sabotaging us.
Yeah.
what was it? The Superflex League. He got us 1 point. Otherwise we probably would have finished top three. Thanks a lot, Elliot. Love you.
So I have to give you grief though, because you have a consortium. You didn't do it all yourself.
Oh no. Well, that was also back in the day when I didn't necessarily have the funds to do it all myself. Yeah, that's I was enlisting other people to take part. Gotcha. In the fun.
Okay, well that's fair. I can't give you crap for that. It's Survivor. It's Pick 'em Pool. I love it. I love that the various ways we can play. And that's one of the things about our industry is, and that's why I asked you what's next, is there. It's becoming a lot like baseball too, in that there's so many different ways to play. There's not just the standard, okay, standard versus PPR and that's it. No, there's super flex. There's the IDPs. There's, you know, let's add more flexes. That's fine. Let's do that. Let's go. You know, we can do the fishbowl where we can do like first downs and completions and, you know, serious negative points for interceptions and pick sixes. So that way Jameis isn't a top five fantasy quarterback just because he wasn't a top five in real life.
100%. Like that's the thing. Like, so I have an article on the site that says what are the best scoring system, or, you know, settings and all that type of stuff, because people ask me that all the time. And I say that in the comment, like, I think, you know, by knowing me at this point, everybody who does know me at this point, I am very impassioned about my opinions. But I say the same thing to what you were just talking about. Is like, if you still want to play that, like, I hate banned kickers. I will never join a league with kickers in it, and I never will play in one. And the only time I ever did, I left the spot empty on purpose. I still won the league. That was an industry league too. But if you want to play with them, go ahead. Because what you just said, Jeff, there are so many ways. There's a lot more flexibility than there is with fantasy baseball. If you like it, if you like points per first down, it kind of feels like PPR to me. I don't like giving out free points. I don't like the fact that a 1 yard run for a first down is more valuable than the 9 yards to get you there.
Right.
But if you like it, play it. Like, that's what's fun about fantasy football, is you can play it so many ways and it can be what you guys enjoy.
Yeah. I think it is a good counterweight to PPR leagues though. I will say that, you know, sometimes you get these cheesy three yard dump off passes. That's worth more than 10 yards. No, it's not really.
That's it. Yeah. No. Well, I'm 100% with. So I'll give you an example. So the best scoring system that I have is I keep using my home league that we've kind of worked over the years, and we actually haven't changed it the last 3 years. And I'm not saying I'm better than everybody else, but just this is what I really like, is it's not only half point PPR, but yes, back in the day when we started fantasy football, we pulled from the box scores 10-1, really easy math, 25-1, really easy math. But now I said, bring back the value in yardage. So we do a point and a half for 10 yards, a point and a half for 25 passing. People want more scoring. Well, give more value back to the yards, which is a lot of the production that gets you there and offsets some of that touchdown variance. So that's where I go, is just bringing some more value back to the yardage.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And I do like what Scott's doing with Fishbowl too. Like, you know, we're going to do points per, you know, he's got all these points that you can add. Okay. We'll have points per completion, but negative points for attempts, negative 4 points for an interception, minus 6 for a pick 6. I mean,
I know, I feel like I need a TI 84 to do his scoring in his league.
Yeah. And the best part of it, that is, it's fully resistant to ADP. You know, Drew Brees goes at the end of the first round in many of his drafts. Okay. that's interesting. You know, yeah. I don't know if I like that, but I liked, again, steer into the difference. Have some fun with it there. And just Lauren Michaels always used to say that just give me the rules and I'll have a spreadsheet and figure out how to beat you. I mean, he would never complain about the rules. He just would, okay, just let me know what they are. And every game is different.
Yeah. And you know what? If you don't like the league, you don't have to join it. Like I complained about the tight end premium scoring in an article a couple of weeks ago, but like I said, if you still want to play it, go play it. Like I ended up in a league with tight end premium scoring, cause I didn't know that's what it was when I joined. It was another industry one. Like you just talked about like, all these leagues that I didn't want to join and I didn't, you know what? I adapted and I drafted what I thought was a pretty bang up team. So that's one of the bigger things too, is, you know, your casual leagues probably aren't going to do this, but the one thing that Scott Fish does and what you just pointed out is that, you know, you make these interesting scoring changes and it throws out the easiness of it and makes you invest your intelligence and how much you, and now you really kind of get the like, all right, did I do a better job than everybody else or did I just run into a lot of luck?
Right. Exactly. And you know, you can, Texas Hold'em is a very complicated, fun game, but sometimes it's good to play stud or play Omaha yeah. or do something else too. You know, learn a different game, learn how to update accordingly there. We got one last promotional note before we move on. I got some news about Kenny Golladay, but before that, real quick, Otto New Fantasy Football lets you build your fantasy football dynasty like a real GM. It's better fantasy football, auction-based, deep rosters, and college player prospects. Stash the next rookie of the year while he is still tearing up on Saturdays. Trade for superstars to make a championship push. Develop a team over multiple years. Play against the best fantasy football competition on the internet. Visit OttoNew, that's OttoNew.com today. OttoNew.com. My guest is Jake Seeley. Jake, one thing you mentioned, and before we get to Kenny Golladay real quick, is that you're also scouting the college players. Do you play college fantasy football?
No, I used to, though.
I did, too.
Yeah, I used to back in the day. I played a couple different sites. The ESPN one where you could just pick whoever you wanted every single week. It's funny. They almost kind of like had DFS before DFS was a thing. Did you ever play that one? That was an interesting one. That was really talented because you could go like you pick the guys from like nobody knew, like Toledo and like Arizona State and like all like the ones. But like David Johnson was back there in the day. Like those were the fun ones. But yeah, I did used to play. Once it kind of went away, and then with my workload now, I don't anymore. I think I could probably get back into it just because I'm watching anyway to scout some of the players.
Right.
But yeah, it kind of, do you still play? I just can't find it much anywhere.
I've dropped. I had a great home league. It was insane. It was 24 teams. We went 16 rounds. We had a keeper element. We had a recruiting element. So the recruiting element ended up being like you would bid on one of your draft picks for that incoming freshman. You know, Adrian Peterson actually was a first round, you know, someone used their first round pick. He thought, you know, the hype on him was there and it was justified and it worked out. So sometimes you see that, sometimes it doesn't always work out, but you know, you could get all into it. Cause let's face it. Some people are so into college football that, you know, they subscribe to all the recruiting services. They want to leverage that knowledge. And that's the whole point of fantasy, is leveraging our knowledge. You know, we're gamers and we also love the particular sport.
Yeah. I would love to have played on that. Cause that would have been fun. Like last year, somebody traded for Joe Burrow. Like, hey, because before last year, nobody wanted him. They would have just, right. would have got him for free. That would have been like a throw in on a trade. So that's a really fun setup from the sound of it.
Yeah, it was awesome, but it requires involvement, right? I have kids.
A heck of a lot.
I have kids. They're, you know, and you know, college football Saturdays became AYSO Saturdays. It's like all your Saturdays are occupied. I get it. And it's okay. I love the trade-off. I love AYSO. I love coaching. Coaching my kids has been one of the most rewarding experiences I've had. But, you know, you only have so much bandwidth. And to me, yep. like being all in on college football had to go. I still watch as much as I can, but I can't be there just riveted 12 hours a day. There's other people in my life. Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, all right, honey, I'll see you on Monday.
And since I already have my cushy gig of writing and talking about sports for a living and working on Sundays, you know, Saturdays kind of had to be the one, you know, I had to give that up. That's fine.
Smart move.
Yeah. Still married, ironically enough there, but so it goes. Kenny Galladay got activated from the COVID list today. That's one, you know, they've had some good news with the Lions camp. Matthew Stafford, you know, they said, oh, it was a false positive with him. He never had COVID. So the only guy left still is Hockenson among that passing game that's still on the list. You know, it's kind of an interesting year two for Hockenson. And, you know, this Matthew Stafford was really good before he got hurt last year. Where are you on this Lions passing offense?
Yeah, I've got a lot of pieces of this Lions offense so far. And I actually did a best ball where I just got Marvin Jones and Hockenson. And not that I always want to, but again, when the value's there, the value's there. And best ball helps alleviate some of that to a degree. But I think Marvin Jones is getting enough industry love at the time or at this time that we should focus a little bit more on Galladay. And I think people are forgetting about him. And then even with Marvin Jones, when he was out there healthy, and even Hockenson at the beginning of the year, when Stafford's out there and Galladay is just a monster. And I think if you're looking at somebody who could take that next step, and where Galladay kind of feels like Amari Cooper right now, where he's going to be a little bit volatile, I feel like he's still taking that step where he could become into that conversation of an Allen Robinson, a Keenan Allen back with Phillip Rivers, the one that, you know, you do get those giant games, but now you see a little bit more of a floor where, you know, I don't want to say quite Julio Jones, but in that conversation of like, he's right on that next tier. And so I have Galladay on a lot of teams. Hockenson was my favorite. That was my breakout tight end article that I wrote, was about Hockenson, because it's not just what we saw in week one, because I only bring that up because I was one of the people who pushed against him last year, saying, let's not overreact to week one. He's still a rookie and all this. But the good news that came from Hockenson, let's just even say, let's throw out week one and just take everything after that. Here's the good factors. He was on the field the third most ahead of Amendola. He was targeted the fourth most behind Amendola. The on the field part about being a rookie tight end who can block tells you how much they trust him. And then if you want to talk about the metrics world, the people that love the metrics, he's in line with Darren Waller, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, and who's the other one? George Kittle. Those are where his metrics line up on, like, yards per route run and separation and speed, all those. So Hockenson, I feel like as long as he's healthy, I'm not so concerned about the COVID. I'm concerned about the injury. If he's healthy, I think we'll be talking about Hockenson as a top 10 tight end easy this year.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I like waiting on tight ends and getting him, so I'm with you on that. So you like Hockenson better than Noah Fant?
Yes, yes, clearly. And for two reasons. One is I know he's going to be on the field all the time. Like, I would be surprised if his snap count isn't like 80% this year. It was around 70 last year. And that's, again, as a rookie who can block. And I even said Noah Fant coming out of college was the better pass catcher, but it wasn't such a big gap that the pass blocking and then the opportunity in the offense. And you could say there's as many weapons in both offenses, but I don't think there are. I think Detroit, looking at their backfield, even with Swift, a little bit less, but also the person I trust more at quarterback is Stafford versus trying to project Locke up, which a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, I agree with all those points. And then you add in Fant's drops last year, bad run blocker, you know, that keeps him off the field a little bit more. Not that, you know, you want your tight end to be doing run blocking. That's one of the things that's kind of, it could be annoying, is like, why isn't he running more routes? Why is, you know, why is it, it's, you get the OJ Howard disease there where, you know,
oh God, please no,
which it was completely unfair. You know, it's like, yes, because, you know, his teammate can't block, you know, he's the one that has to stay in and block, you know, it's just, very frustrating. But, anyways, you know, that side ran aside, you know, like, yeah, Cameron Brate is just a bane of my existence, but whatever, at least he was last year. You know, that's always the little hidden things you have to kind of dig into a little bit with these guys.
Yeah, and that's where you find the little values and potential breakouts, is finding these little nuggets. And you're not the only one. I'm not the only one. There's millions of them out there, and you can find articles. And yeah, that's why, like, that's the bad thing, though. That's why sleepers don't exist anymore. You know, It's almost just, it's undervalued. You have to find the undervalued players.
Our industry is too good.
It is. It really is. I think Pianowski was the one that even said it last year. There is legitimately no such thing as a sleeper. And if you want a sleeper, oh no, it was Salfino to talk about. So Salfino was the one. If you want to talk about a sleeper, that would be somebody like, who did he threw out? It was a tight end for the Seahawks. And it was like so far down the list. It was like the backup tight end. And I was like, that's a sleeper. And I was like, you know what? He's got a point.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. That is actually true. And then because we're so oriented that way, and you get in like preseason football Twitter where, hey, this seventh round pick for the Seahawks, we love this guy. Oh, and he gets cut. You know, it's like,
Yes, every single year is all these values that we're missing. But and also, you know, even on the positive side of, you get these like second year, third year players, or even first rounders that the industry talks up so much that they go from being undervalued, or if you want to even call them sleepers, to now they're overpriced. And I'll give you the perfect example is and I'm not saying this to like, hey, look at me, I called it, because I didn't think he was going to be that good, to be clear. But this is coming from a fan, and that's why I want to say that is, I'm a huge Terry McLaurin fan. I am now out on Terry McLaurin. Like, you start taking him top 15, and I love Dwayne Haskins, but now, like, where's the potential return on investment at that point? Like, because so many people like the same player, that it often causes the price to skyrocket, and then you've priced yourself out.
Yeah, early on in best balls and other drafts, I was getting a lot of McLaurin and a lot of DJ Chark. And I can only get one of them now. Vlad sniped me on touchdown Terry in the flex best ball here that we did, Vlad Sedler. And he's, I think I got him back later with Hollywood Brown, but I got him back in a later round, so it's not as fulfilling.
No, but I do like the Hollywood Brown pick. Do you like it better hearing that he's added 23 pounds of muscle?
Yeah, I do. I do. I like that. Oh, he's fully clear. No foot injuries this year. I know it's year two. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about him. You know, he's still the primary guy in that passing offense. So yeah, I like it a lot.
I think worst case is we're talking about DeSean Jackson in his prime, which DeSean Jackson was one of the most frustrating wide receivers, except for 2 years where he only had about three or four bad games a year. And I think Marquise Brown can surprise a lot. Did you see that he kept the GPS with him to make sure he didn't lose speed while he's putting on muscle?
I did not see that. That's amazing. That's a great story.
I want Hollywood Brown on all my teams now.
And it's funny, and I'm doing Raz Bowl, and I got sniped on him by one pick. So yeah, at least I got him here, and I got Vlad in the process, which is always good too.
We're buddies, I love your wide receiver so far, by the way, speaking of which, Hopkins, Chark, Marquise Brown, and Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd is your four. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not unhappy about that at all. The other trend I noticed real quick, and I know we got to go, but Zeke Elliott has been dropping to 4 or 5 in a lot of these drafts lately. I got him at 5 in Raz Bowl and 4 in the flex best ball draft. In one case, it was Michael Thomas. And this flex league, though, it's been crazy. It was crazy running back early, 12 of the top 13, and Thomas didn't even go till pick 9. It was a little bit different, but I did notice like some people are kind of like, I want Kamara over Zeke now, and maybe even CEH in some cases. It's kind of changing up a little bit.
I don't get it. I'm with you. Zeke is definitively my number 3, and actually my number 4 in front of Kamara is Dalvin Cook. But you know, if you want to take Kamara, I understand it, but I think you're banking on Kamara having the touchdown fortune he did 2 years ago, which is funny because as much as we love Kamara, we love the Saints, we love that offense, even the biggest fans of Kamara said, oh, he might be due for some touchdown regression. And of course, nobody expected it to go as bad as it did last year, and there were some injuries involved. But we just said 2 years ago, that's a very high mark of a touchdown rate for a running back with his type of usage. And all of a sudden, people just want to kind of push him back up to like the 3, or even, I've even seen him go in front of Barkley, which is just baffling to me. It's 1, 2, 3 for me. It's McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke. And I'm with you. If I can get Zeke at 4 or even 5, I'm going to be doing dances around my living room every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be very happy with it. All of a sudden, 5 and 6 aren't such bad spots anymore. It's funny how the league is all, or in your case with Dalvin Cook, you were already thinking it was fine. So maybe 7 is the bad spot now, or, you know, it's funny how that changes. Other people like being in the middle. So, you know, I love how at the end of the day, you know, draft order, it matters, but it matters less. And especially if you play NFFC, where you get third round reversal, that all gets taken out of anyhow.
Yep. Scott Angle's always said that since the day I've known him, is you can win from any draft spot in your league.
Yep. That's right. I do agree with you on that. Jake, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for taking so much of your time. I know you had another pod earlier today. You're busy as heck, just like everybody in this industry, especially today. So I appreciate the time, and it was a lot of fun with the conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
What do you got going on next for the Athletic?
The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast with your friend of your Brand Funston, Michael Beller. We do that Mondays and Wednesdays right now. And then, like I said, I just dropped the article. So I did this, I would take Chris Carson over Kenyon Drake in my own drafts. And a lot of people disagree, but somebody said, well, what does that mean for your rankings? Because you have Drake higher. So I did my 8 players where I don't like my projections as much as they would suggest. And it was a kind of like an interesting dive of like, they're not going to end up on my team, even though they're projected high.
I'll be good. I'll have to check that out because I think anybody that does projections runs into that issue all the time. So I definitely will look forward to seeing that. Want to thank our sponsors, Dynasty Owners and Owners Box, and Draft. Let me give them proper credit here. There's so many sponsors here, and I think I'm conflating them here. But on AutoNew, I know for sure, and I want to thank Dynasty Owner, who is our primary sponsor for this month, and also FanDraft as well for their draft board. Thank you. Really do appreciate the sponsorship. Please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. Have a great day.